And good evening, sports fans. It is the Wednesday edition of Sports Talk here on Newstalk 1400 WDWS Champaign-Urbana. I am Tim Dittman filling in for Scott Beatty tonight. Scott a little bit under the weather. Get well soon, Scott. Hope to have him back tomorrow. Scott Ritchie from the News Gazette is alongside. Scott, how are you?
I'm good.
You've recovered from the Nebraska game?
Oh, yeah. It was something else.
I think that's about all you can say. Something else.
It was a strange game to begin with. And then, you know, Michael Finke's three. Looks like Illinois is going to get that first Big Ten win. And then here comes James Palmer in Nebraska and at the buzzer. Yeah. Maybe the toughest loss for Illinois this season.
And you had an article in the paper today looking at a lack of Big Ten wins for Illini teams. I want to get to that maybe in just a moment. You know the ways to reach us by now on the show. Give us a call, 356-9397. Castle Heating and Cooling text line is 351-5357. We're streaming at WDWS.com. That's also where you can find a podcast of tonight's show afterwards. Tamara McDaniel taking care of that tonight. Hit us up on Twitter as well. I'm at TDittman2. Scott is at SRRitchie. At WDWS1400 is the station Twitter handle. At News_Gazette is the News Gazettes, and also at IlliniHQ as well. A little bit later in the program and around the bottom of the hour, we'll be joined by Brad Evans. You might be familiar with him. He's a University of Illinois alum, native of the area. He is now the top fantasy writer for Yahoo, does a lot of fantasy sports writing, also writes about college basketball, football, pro sports. We'll get his thoughts on his alma mater, the Illini, and also the NFL Conference Championship games coming up this weekend. At around 5:45, a neat guest, Ed Hightower, a longtime college basketball referee. He's now retired. He reffed 12 Final Fours during his heyday and was very familiar to a lot of Big Ten fans. We'll talk to him, see what he's up to in retirement. He's been retired for, I think, 2-3 years now, but it's good to check in with him regardless and maybe talk about the state of college basketball today. Before all that, though, we get a look at sports headlines and the Illini football news breaking, I guess, if you want to call it that, this afternoon. Jeff George Jr., quarterback for the Illini, will be transferring, releasing a statement on his Twitter. I'll read it to you in full here. It says, "For my entire life, I bled orange and blue. Coach Beckman and Coach Cubitt bless me with an unbelievable opportunity to live out my dreams to play for the U of I. I cannot thank them enough for that. Having spent the past 4 years here, I will have earned my degree in management from the top business school in the nation, competed at the highest level in college sports, and made relationships that will last forever. The U of I will always be a special place for me. Thank you to Coach Smith and the entire staff for helping me develop over the past couple years. With that being said, after discussions with Coach Smith and my family, it would be in my best interest to pursue my athletic career with 2 years of eligibility left at a school that will best utilize the abilities I have to offer. I say this with an extremely heavy heart, as the Illini have been and will continue to be my family. I look forward to a new chapter in my life and what the future has in store for me." That coming from Jeff George Jr. today, who says he is transferring. Scott, on a scale of 1 to 10, I guess, how surprising is this?
Is there maybe a negative?
You can go negative if you want to.
I think Illinois had shown that they were ready to move in a different direction quarterback-wise. You're going to Cam Thomas. Towards the last third of the season, I suppose. So it's not a terrible surprise to me. And then some more Illinois quarterback news. I just saw this on Twitter. Chase Crouch posted a note of his own that he is hanging up his cleats.
Really?
He's done as a football player.
Okay, so that's just happening in the past few minutes.
Yeah, literally within like 9 minutes ago.
Okay.
I just saw it on Twitter. And so that, Jeff George Jr. transferring was one thing. It left Illinois a little thin at quarterback, and now they will have one scholarship quarterback, Cam Thomas,
right,
going into spring ball with MJ Rivers, of course, signed in December and joining the team for next season. But I guess Cam Thomas is going to get an awful lot of reps. He'll be ready.
At least in spring ball, he will. Exactly right. Caron Taylor, still hope that he might sign next month with Illinois. I mean, has anything changed there?
I mean, there has been no new news since the end of December I reached out to Tim Thornton, the coach there at Peoria, and he said Caron was still 100% committed to Illinois. Just there was no real timetable on,
okay,
you know, if he would sign still during that early period, which he didn't, or
right,
you know, if he will sign here shortly. The regular period now for football will open up back up here. I guess that first Tuesday of February.
Mm-hmm. I'm certainly keep an eye on that and all the quarterback news that Scott mentioned there. Plenty of coverage at IlliniHQ.com. Switching gears, Big Ten basketball tonight, a couple of games. Number 22, Ohio State at 15-4 and unbeaten in the Big Ten at 6-0, visits Northwestern. The Wildcats are at 11-8, 2-4 in league play. That's an 8 p.m. tip, the nightcap on BTN. Northwestern head coach Chris Collins sums up the season so far.
We've been up and down all year. We'd look good at times and then kind of fall flat, and it is frustrating. And I'm, you know, I love these guys. I mean, they've been so good for us and they've done so much for our program as we've built, and we got to figure out a way here in these last 12 league games to find some consistent play and put ourselves in a position to win basketball games again.
Other Big Ten game tonight, Iowa at 10-9, 1-5 in conference is at Rutgers. Rutgers 11-8, also 1-5 in conference play. That's the early game, 6 p.m. tip also on BTN. In the NBA tonight, Warriors at 36-9 at the Bulls. Bulls are 17-27, 7 p.m. start. Golden State an 8-point favorite in that ball game. On the high school scene, the latest polls out for Class 1A through 4A in high school basketball. On the boys' side, in Class 4A, Danville number 5. Class 3A, Champaign Central is number 10. Class 2A, GCMS is number 5. Monticello is number 9. On the girls' side, these are high school basketball state rankings. In Class 2A, Monticello is number 5. And in Class 1A, Danville Schlarman is number 2. Anawan is number 1. Danville Schlarman, again, at number 2. They got 2 first-place votes. The Hilltoppers at 19-1 on the season. Major League Baseball news, a person with direct knowledge of the situation says the Chicago Cubs and free agent reliever Brian Dunsing have agreed to a $7 million 2-year contract. As we mentioned off the top, we've got the NFC and AFC championship games coming up this weekend. On the AFC side, the Patriots saying today that Tom Brady did not attend a scheduled AFC championship news conference today because he was meeting with the team medical staff for a right hand injury. According to the injury report the team put out, Brady was a limited participant in practice today. The 40-year-old has not missed a playoff start during his 18-year career. Pittsburgh Steelers news, a person with direct knowledge of the decision says that the Steelers will not renew offensive coordinator Todd Haley's contract. That news coming out today. College football at FAU, Lane Kiffin. It's officially not official announced by the team, but multiple sources, including CBS Sports, confirming that Charlie Weiss Jr. will be the Owls offensive coordinator under Lane Kiffin. Scott, until today, I didn't even know there was a Charlie Weiss Jr. Maybe yeah. That shows how much I know.
Well, I had not realized that Charlie's son there was also in football. That's, you know, I don't keep real close tabs on the Weiss family. Yeah.
Nor would I expect you to.
But, I mean, that's, I guess the apple hasn't fallen far from the football tree there.
24 years old, he would be the youngest coordinator in FBS. Back to the NBA, San Antonio Spurs say Kawhi Leonard will be out indefinitely as he continues to recover from a leg injury. Leonard's played in just 9 games after missing the beginning of the season because of a right quadriceps injury. He was also briefly sidelined because of a shoulder injury. That's a look at sports headlines today. Again, at the bottom of the hour, Brad Evans will join us, U of I alum, fantasy writer for Yahoo, 5:45 Ed Hightower, longtime college basketball official, now retired, will be on the phone with us. Before we move on, I mentioned earlier, Scott, that you had an article in today's sports section of the News Gazette bemoaning, I guess maybe that's the right word, the lack of conference wins for Illinois football, men's basketball, and women's basketball this academic year. I did a little sleuthing, as I'm sure you did. I could not find another team this year that has pulled off that trifecta. No conference wins in football, men's basketball, and women's basketball. So I believe the Illini are all by themselves.
Yeah, it's I mean, there's fewer football programs that went winless in conference play.
Sure.
During the 2017 season, I think Illinois was one of six across all of FBS that managed to pull off that, not so great the record there, but it's hard to believe, maybe not hard to believe, but it's a tough pill to swallow probably for Illinois fans that those three programs are combined 0-21 in Big Ten play. And, you know, the fact of the matter is the Illinois football hasn't won a Big Ten game in more than 400 days.
Long time.
It's, and when your two revenue sports are not experiencing the level of success that I'm sure the Illinois athletic department wants, and that's it becomes tougher for Josh Whitman to sell his now famous, infamous hashtag of "We Will Win," because it's maybe time to add a question mark to the end of that.
It's interesting how much people get wrapped up in slogans. People gravitated that so much on the day he was hired. And now I almost see people poking fun out of it. Like, we will win eventually or something like that.
Yeah, well, and I've also seen quite a bit on Twitter, we will win, W-H-E-N.
W-H-E-N.
There's some clever people out there in the Twitterverse. But, eventually those streaks will come to an end.
Well, and to that point, in your article today, you predicted that the men's basketball losing streak will come to an end at the end of the month and when Rutgers comes to town. So between now and then, Illinois is at Wisconsin and then home against Michigan State and then home against Indiana before that Rutgers game. And I would agree with you on that.
And I've been thinking about that a little bit today as well as I'm starting to prepare for Friday's game at Wisconsin. And, the fact that Illinois has not won in Madison since 2010 maybe gives me a little pause, but this is not the same Badgers team that's finishing the top four in the Big Ten each of the last 15 seasons. Wisconsin, of course, has Ethan Happ, one of the better players in the conference, but a couple injuries to Demetric Trice and Kobe King have really hurt them. They just don't have much around Ethan Happ. So maybe I was off by a couple weeks and Illinois could get that first Big Ten win on the road this Friday.
Yeah, that's an 8 p.m. tip Friday night at the Kohl Center. Of course, we'll have the game right for you here on DWS, and Scott will have plenty of coverage at IlliniHQ.com. Again, that is a late Friday night tip-off, 8 p.m. Our coverage will start at 6:30. Before we take our first time out, I know there's been a lot of talk, even though there's really not much news on the football assistant coaching situation. Still no news there on the offensive coordinator and the two others. And the news yesterday was that the job posting was apparently extended for another week. However much that means, you don't know what's really going on behind the scenes. But the latest you've heard about when we might know who the next offensive coordinator is.
I mean, the fact that no one really knows is kind of telling. And Lovie Smith keeps those type of things very close to the breast.
Mm-hmm.
His circle on things that he shares details like that with is rather small. I sort of assumed that they would have had the hire announced yesterday. It was university was back in session after their winter break, and the job posting had, even though they had extended it, they could still hire at any point. Would have probably, my thought on it is like they're back on the road recruiting, and they're doing so down three coaches because they can add that 10th assistant.
Sure.
And I mean, they're behind recruiting anyway, just in general. And you wouldn't think that they would, hamstring themselves further by not having, that full complement of assistant coaches.
Continuing saga that is Illini football, and as soon as Scott knows, we'll certainly let you know here on the air at IlliniHQ.com. All right, we'll take a timeout. On the other side, Brad Evans will join us. He's a native of the area, University of Illinois alum, and he covers a lot of things for Yahoo Sports, most notably known as kind of their top fantasy writer for fantasy football. He tweets out a lot of fantasy tips and things of the like on Twitter, and also gets into a lot of debates about fans about starting and sitting, so that's always fun to watch. We will check in with him in a few minutes. At around 5:45, Ed Hightower, longtime college basketball referee, now retired, will check in with us. He'll talk about the state of college basketball, among other things. 5:26 on the Wednesday edition of Sports Talk. Tim Dittman and Scott Ritchie with you back after this.
Today at NewsGazette.com, Tate Lines Unedited. This week, Lauren Tate in his podcast tells us of some of the heartbreaking losses in Illinois basketball.
That's online at WDWS.com. But right now, it's the Wednesday edition of Sports Talk. Tim Dittman filling in for Scott Beatty. Scott Ritchie from the News Gazette is alongside. And we're joined on the phone now by Brad Evans. You might be familiar with that name, alum of the University of Illinois and now a fantasy writer, the top fantasy writer for Yahoo Sports. Brad, how you doing tonight?
I am splendid, gentlemen. How you doing?
You sound awfully chipper given that Illini basketball, football, and women's basketball have not won a Big Ten game this year.
Yeah, oh, and over the last 20, I believe, in Big Ten play, across the board. Yeah, it's disappointing. This is why it drives me to the bottle, quite frankly. And I'm, trying to get through these difficult times. But, you look at Illinois basketball right now, they're right there on the cusp of turning this thing around. You know, there's just a culture of losing. Brad Underwood's trying to change that culture to a winning program, a winning mentality. And right now, these guys just got to get over the hump. I thought with Finke and that and one three-point conversion in Nebraska, I thought that was going to be the seminal moment. You saw how demonstrative Brad Underwood was when Finke hit that shot, but unfortunately, the ball bounced the wrong way, and Lady Luck wasn't on Illinois' side as Nebraska hit that clutch three to seal the victory. But they're right there on the edge, and I think it's only a matter of time before the switch is flipped and this thing turns around quickly. And, what's coincidental is that, Underwood's back in the exact same situation he was last year with Oklahoma State. Hopefully we'll have a similar result this time around.
Well, Brad, this is Sky Ritchie. Just 0-6 in the Big Ten. I mean, obviously he took Oklahoma State to the NCAA tournament after a similar start last year in the Big 12. Is that maybe a bridge too far for this team?
Yeah, I think it is, quite honestly. There are a lot of problems with this Illinois roster right now. Obviously there's consistency issues there. The defense I've been very impressed with. This is a club that ranks inside the top 16 in terms of defensive efficiency according to KenBaum.com. They're forcing turnover nearly 24% of the time. That's top 10 in the country. It's not for a lack of effort, but they need to get a guy like, say, Aaron Jordan back on track to consistently deliver those three-point strikes, along with consistency from Michael Finke, not only on the offensive end, but especially in the defensive end, keeping guys out of foul trouble, guarding without fouling. Now you're down potentially Lucas for an indefinite period of time. We don't know if he's going to return at all this season, given the off-the-court issue with him. So, I don't think this roster can – turn things around 180, similar to what the Cowboys did under Underwood's tutelage last year. But even if they were to make the NIT, I would consider that a moral victory with knowing that you're going to get a bulk of the roster back for next season, and with AO coming in as well, the top-level recruit among some other guys, so they need to solve that big man issue, and maybe getting a transfer or two to help in that area could certainly boost the roster for next season.
Brad Evans from Yahoo Sports joins us on the Wednesday edition of Sports Talk. Give him a follow on Twitter at Yahoo Noise. Brad, how do you size up the Big Ten this year? I saw a couple tweets from you, I think it was last night, talking about how Purdue is looking really good right now. Obviously, Michigan State has had its struggles, but you can never count them out. Do you see any other teams besides those two making a run at the Big Ten championship?
Yeah, the one team I've been shocked by, their high level of performance, and it really shouldn't be based on the coaching acumen of Chris Holtmann, but it's Ohio State. I thought this was going to be a middling team in the Big Ten Conference. This is a squad that is winning, not only at home in convincing fashion like we saw against Michigan State, but they're winning on the road. Big test tonight at Northwestern there at the Rosemont Horizon. But, this is a team that's got one of the best big men in the entire conference, and Bates Diop. And they're getting some sound minutes, from some of the younger players on roster. You know, C.J. Jackson has also played very well, the junior guard there, and Jayson Tate has been a terrific player for much of his Big Ten career. But this is a very balanced team, getting it done on both ends of the floor, very efficient in offensive and defensive efficiency. I've just been really impressed with the Buckeyes, you know, kind of coming out of nowhere. Again, I thought this team might have been a borderline bubble team for the NCAA tournament. But right now they're looking like a sure-fired NCAA tournament team and probably maybe in a top five seed, not necessarily overall, but in terms, you know, five seed or better. So, again, got to take care of business tonight on the road against a struggling Northwestern team. But Ohio State definitely trending in the right direction and a squad that could be a menace come March.
Brad, I'm going to take you in a different direction. You know, the NFL conference championship games, you know, this week, I think maybe before the season. Yeah. You know, not a surprise to think that Tom Brady and the Patriots would be back, but you know, the fact that the other three quarterbacks are Nick Foles, Blake Bortles, and Case Keenum, is that anything you could have predicted 3 or 4 months ago?
Well, actually, I did predict Jacksonville to make it to the Super Bowl 3 or 4 months ago, and people thought I was nuts, and here they are. You know, I'm a person that believes in a roster structure, and it doesn't necessarily have to be a franchise quarterback spearheading things. As long as you have a stout, staunch defense, which Jacksonville clearly had. They had one of the better defenses on paper entering the season. A lot of people weren't necessarily talking about that. You know, they had a Calais Campbell from Arizona, who's a space eater in the trenches, to go along with A.J. Boye, who was one of the best cover DBs in the league last season, then with the Houston Texans. And then we saw Jalen Ramsey, what he did as a rookie, and he has ratcheted up his game in his sophomore campaign to go along with a strong linebacker core, to go along with Malik Jackson. And really the tipping point moment for Jacksonville defensively was adding Marcell Dareus, the trade deadline from Buffalo, because the biggest eyesore for this team defensively was defending the run. And adding that kind of man-eater in the trenches definitely shored up that area and was that final missing piece to take that defense to the next level and provide consistency across the board. So, you know, I know Blake Bortles is a disaster. He's a dumpster fire at times. But Tom Coughlin, you know, very sagely, you know, you bring in all these key defensive components along with Leonard Fournette. He knew that all he had to do was transform Bortles into a game manager, and this team had a fighting chance not only to make the playoffs, but maybe make a deep run. And here they are, one game away from reaching the Super Bowl in Minneapolis. So I'm not shocked by that. I'm honestly not at all shocked by the Eagles and also the Vikings being in the positions they are. Why? Because they have great defenses, particularly Minnesota. I know that Philadelphia's had some struggles in the back end, but Jalen Mills has made, you know, some strides, and having Ronald Darby back and healthy has been a major shot in the arm. But we know what Philadelphia brings in terms of defending the run with Fletcher Cox there. So, you know, again, none of this is shocking to me, and this is why that I feel, you know, as we talk as sports writers, too often we grasp onto this notion that you have to have a stud quarterback to make a deep run in the playoffs. Last I checked, it's still a team sport, and three of these teams are certainly proving that.
Brad Evans from Yahoo Sports, our guest tonight on Sports Talk. A lot of folks around here, Brad, as you're aware, are kind of rooting for the Jags as their kind of sentimental favorite, the team they've adopted because of the Shad Khan University of Illinois connection. He, you know, as we all know, now owns the team. Just curious, you know, in following them, I've been going back and forth on this all day. How much does the owner have to do with the changing of the culture of a team, or are they so far removed from the process that they don't have a role in that? But, I mean, if you look it up, in 2012, the first year Shad Khan was associated with the team, Jacksonville led the league with 14 losses, and now they're one win away from the Super Bowl. So I guess you can say he's had at least some positive effect there.
Oh, absolutely has. And he's a hands-on owner. Very similar to Jerry Jones. I mean, it's not putting himself in a position of a general manager like Jerry is. But he's a guy that is certainly, you know, likes to get his hands dirty, with the team. It's not necessarily just dollars and cents. He wants a winner. And Shad Khan, you know, has proved that. He has his opinion internally in meetings. That's why they brought in Tom Coughlin to change that culture, that mentality. A guy that's done it before, you know, has won Super Bowls. So, bringing in Coughlin to change the identity of Jacksonville, transitioning it from being more of an offensive-minded team to a completely defensive-minded team with a conservative approach and a strong ground game, I think is that, you know, that turning point. I think that was the correct hire. And clearly it's paying dividends right now for Shad. And, you know, they're selling out games in Jacksonville. So, yeah, I mean, they're definitely a sentimental favorite. Everybody hates the Patriots, and understandably so. And now the big news is just off the wire, you know, in the last hour, is that an unknown player, we don't know who it is, may no longer be a Patriot here in short order, but somebody accidentally jammed the throwing wrist of Tom Brady.
Right.
X-rays are negative, but you think that player is going to get cut imminently? Yeah, more than likely. So we'll have to wait and see how that plays out. But you know Jacksonville's going to try to take advantage and really bring the heat on Tom Terrific to make him more Tom Tepid this weekend.
I was going to say, we'll probably find out who that unnamed player is, you know, when he is released from the team here in the next, I don't know, 10 or 15 minutes.
All right, Brad, so we know who you like in the AFC. You've picked Jacksonville a long time ago. Who do you like, Vikings versus Eagles?
Well, before the playoffs began, you know, as I said, I was on the Jacksonville bandwagon in the AFC. I was on the Minnesota Vikings bandwagon in the NFC. After the Minnesota Miracle, I think this is the team to beat. Sin City agrees with me as Minnesota's laying 3.5. The public laying heavy, though, on Philadelphia in this game right now in terms of spread tickets. But, you know, I think the Vikings with that defense, Zendaya looks like he's trending in the right direction to be available on the field, which will really help out and bolster the performance of, say, Xavier Rhodes. And that defense in general, they have one of those, you know, more stout run defenses in the league. And I think Case Keenum, you know, he's probably going to get the Brock Osweiler sweetheart deal this offseason and make Brewster's millions in the process. A lot of that money is going to be guaranteed. But, you know, it's more than just Keenum and his magical ways. You know, you've got sure-handed receivers in Diggs and Adam Thielen, who's been quite the revelation this season after a breakout 2017 and 2016, I should say. So, you know, you pull it all together. I just think that Minnesota has too many weapons. I trust Case Keenum a little bit more than I do Nick Foles. And because Minnesota's defense is so outstanding across the board, I think they have the edge and will win by a field goal. So if you're making friendly wagers with your buddies, you'd probably take the Eagles, knowing the hook is involved there at +3.5. But I think Minnesota ultimately wins on the money line.
Hey, Brad, good stuff. We'll check in with you down the road. Hopefully the next time we talk, we'll have some Big Ten wins to talk about.
Yeah, can you give me one?
We'll try.
Oh, God, please, just one. That's all I'm asking.
Wisconsin on Friday. We'll give it our best shot.
Yeah, we'll probably find a spectacular way to lose that in the waning moments as well. Have a good one, guys.
Take care, Brad. That is Brad Evans, University of Illinois alum. Covers fantasy sports and plenty of other things as well for Yahoo. Give him a follow on Twitter, at Yahoo Noise. All right, it is 5:42 on the Wednesday edition of Sports Talk. Tim Dittman in for Scott Beatty, Scott Ritchie from the News Gazette. Lauren Tate has joined us as well for our next segment. On the other side of this timeout, we're going to visit with Ed Hightower, longtime college basketball referee. He's now retired. We'll get his take on the state of college basketball, maybe even ask him about Ted Valentine. Who knows? That's coming up on Sports Talk.
Hi, it's Dave Gentry. Join us on the DWS Morning Show for news, sports, weather, agribusiness, and more. That's every morning here on News Talk 1400 DWS.
Back on the Wednesday edition of Sports Talk, 5:45, Tim Dittman filling in for Scott Beatty, Lauren Tate, Scott Ritchie from the News Gazette alongside. Shoot us a text on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 351-5357. Got a couple of texts in the queue. We'll get to them a little bit later, but right now, joined by a special guest on the phone, the one and only Ed Hightower, who has 12 Final Fours under his belt. That's 12 more than all of us have, by the way. Ed, thanks for joining us. I was told you were on the golf course today, so you must not be anywhere near Illinois.
No, I'm not. I'm down in the Fort Myers, Naples area. The temperature today was 75 degrees. It was wonderful. I just wish that my golf score could have been anywhere close to the temperature.
Well, Ed, you've been retired for a few years now. Other than golf, what have you been up to?
Well, I'm still working with Manny Jackson, who's a graduate of University of Illinois and a big a supporter of U of I. We have the Manny Jackson Foundation that is really thriving, and we're doing a lot of wonderful things across this country. And with Manny Jackson at the lead, the foundation is growing, and right now we're gearing up for our third annual Manny Jackson dinner and speaker series. 2 years ago, our first year in operation, we brought in Colin Powell, General Colin Powell, and he just was phenomenal. Last year, we brought in Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and this year, we're going to bring in Naomi Tutu, daughter of South Africa Bishop Devin Tutu, Nobel Peace Prize recipient. So a lot of good things are happening. So I'm happy. My wife is doing great. Last year we had a little setback, a health issue with her, and she's doing much better. So life is good around the Hightower household.
Well, Ed, it's great to hear your voice. This is Lauren, and I just would like to get you back on the basketball trail here a little bit and let you comment on how you see officiating. I know you watch the games from an officiating standpoint. How do you see us going this year?
Well, Lauren, you and I have been around this game a long time. I watch games, and even when I refereed from the vantage point of a coach. I always try to study the coaches and know what they were going to do. And the worst thing that can happen to a referee is anticipation and not being prepared. As a result, you make mistakes that if you would have studied that team, you would pretty much know how they fare. Overall, I've seen some games that I've been quite disappointed in. I watched the University of Missouri, Florida game about 10 days ago, and I was really disappointed in the performance. I thought the last 3 minutes of the game, the officials were not at their best, and I thought it cost the players. I thought it cost the team, and it was a negative mark on officiating.
Well, Ed, what aspect of the game are you concerned about mostly?
I'm concerned, Lauren, I'm concerned right now with quality calls. Here's the thing. We're letting kids play, and we have the freedom of movement. Okay, freedom of movement, meaning that we've really pinned down on a rough play the last 3-4 years or so. Now, with that, you just can't put air in the whistle and put a kid on the bench when there is absolutely no contact. And that's what I'm seeing now. I'm seeing some quality games being played. But as we go down the stretch, you cannot anticipate. You cannot just be in a position where you think that there was a foul. And you put that second foul on a big guy because you're saying, we're not going to let him play. We're not going to let the game get rough. It's, in that fact, creating a negative consequence for the players. I think the game is in good hands. The players just continue to get better.
Well, Ed, let me ask you, what about reviews? What about all the time taken for the reviews? Would you rather just see the officiator go with the officiating call, or do you like the review process?
I like the review, and you and I have discussed this. This was one of the questions you asked me about 4 years ago. I've always been an advocate of going to the monitor and getting the plays right. And it was no more evident when University of Illinois lost that game in the tournament on that terrible call, because the officials were not allowed at the end of the game to go and review that situation on that out-of-bounds play. You remember that play that I'm talking about?
Yeah, it changed the rule.
Now, it changed the rule. But here's the flip side of that. You can't go to the monitor on every freaking play. You have to trust that you are prepared and getting the call right. And here, and this is a concern that I got. And again, I'm out of it now. But it was also a concern when I was in the game. I see tiredness when guys are working 4, 5, 6, 7 nights a week. There is a tiredness, and now you've got that crutch that you can go to the monitor and look at a play that you really should not. You should get in position, make the call, be right, and if you've got to go to the monitor 5, 6 times on the wrong shooter, then there should be a penalty against that referee. You can't do that. You got to go to the monitor on an out-of-bound play, you know, when you know everybody in the bleachers, 16,000 people saw it, and you're missing it. And you're missing it on a regular basis. That is the issue. And the other thing that I recommended 3 years ago to the NCAA, okay, this nonsense of going to the monitor and putting time back on the clock on every play, all you've got to do is have, and let me just say this. One of my best friends lives in Edwardsville. His name is Scott Moore. He owns NEFCO Scoreboard. I recommend it to the NCAA committee that you have an alternative clock that runs simultaneously with the regular clock. And when you lose 5 or 6 seconds off a clock, the referee go over there and whomever is at the table can simply say, here it is, you lost 5 seconds, 10 seconds, and then you put the game, get the game back in play. Because I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. The TV media is paying big money for those games. Fans pay to watch those games. They don't pay to watch the constant interruptions, delays, and all. And I'm hoping that they will consider that. But that is a fix for taking so much time at that table on those reviews to put time back on the clock.
Ed Hightower is our guest, longtime college basketball official. Just a couple more minutes with him left on Sports Talk. I'm going to regret this, Ed, but I got to ask you about Ted Valentine. Do you really think he's going to hang it up?
Well, let's answer the first question first. I don't think that there is an official out there that's any better play caller than Ted. I have the greatest respect. You know, I was on the Indiana-Illinois game with him, certainly. That was a very controversial, difficult time for all of us involved, including the coaches. It was not a good time for the league. There is no place for any official to, when they turn their back on a player, okay? That is a self-imposed problem that you just created. When we impose issues and problems for a league or university, and it becomes a distraction, we have to take a look at ourselves and we have to do a quick fix. And if we're not capable of fixing whatever illness that's causing us to do what we do, then we have to assess and reassess where we are and the value that we bring to that organization. I'm a big supporter of Ted Valentine and his ability to go out and call the game and get plays right. But it comes a point that it's not about me. It should not be about you. It's not about the coaches. It's about those players out there on the floor.
All right, we won't end.
I'll leave it at that.
We won't end on that note. We'll end on a positive note. You're eligible for the Hall of Fame. How do you feel about that?
Well, you know, I tell you, I was surprised and to be considered in such a high esteem and honor that has bestowed so many greats. If I am selected to go in, I would be accepting that honor on behalf of the so many wonderful people over the years that were very instrumental in helping me to get where I am today. You know, we look at a Jim Bain who passed away a few months ago. When you look at a Lou Henson who was very instrumental in supporting Ed Hightower prior to getting into the Big Ten, and while Coach Henson was tough on Ed Hightower, he was one of my big supporters. I will accept my family and others who have been so great in helping me to get to this point in life. I will accept that award on their behalf.
Hey, good stuff, Ed. We really appreciate you joining us tonight.
Guys, as always, and Lauren, I want to tell you, this is where we ought to be meeting you and I and going out there. Going out there on the golf course.
Yeah, yeah. Next time we call you, we'll give you at least a half hour, if not an hour.
you got it. Talk to you later, guys. Ed, best of luck.
All right. Good to hear from you. Ed Hightower, longtime college basketball official, joining us on Sports Talk with some pretty candid comments. We appreciate those. 5:58 on Sports Talk. Back to wrap it up after this. Thanks to everyone for joining us tonight. Scott Ritchie, Lauren Tate, Brad Evans, Ed Hightower. Podcast coming up shortly at WDWS.com. I'm Tim Dittman in for Scott tonight on the Wednesday edition of Sports Talk. It's WDWS Champaign-Urbana. We join CBS News in progress.